world-famous Phil Hendry show. Phil is mentioning the Masters Golf Tournament, which is going on as we speak. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And let me just hasten to add, when you go over to DraftKings and you look at the... I don't know, man. You know, I might have...
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I think with DraftKings, you have to... You know what? I'm not going to say anything. Just head over to DraftKings, okay? And join us. Join us for an extended period of marvelous, irresponsible fun. Okay. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and Phil Hendry Show. I probably shouldn't have said that either, huh?
You know what, Phil? If you want to step in it, that's fine. If you want to put one fin in it...
I'm going to put one fin in it.
I didn't say fin.
Who wants to put one fin in it? Can we turn the music off?
Yeah, turn that, you know... Thank you. Get that... I understand you love that music, bud, but you got to get it out of my ear at some point, otherwise it's going to drive me into a...
Well, I mean...
No, it will. It'll take me to some bad places.
Okay, so the music's off. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is, if you are sending people over to DraftKings, it's nothing... It's no indictment of DraftKings. I'm just simply saying that the competition for the... Masters may already be underway, and there may be some other things that they'd like to choose to play. That's my point.
Okay, I understand that, and that is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. But just to say, all of the opinions aside, I've had a blast with DraftKings. They're great sponsors, great people, and I enjoy playing. I enjoyed playing football last year. I'm going to enjoy playing the golf season. It's my way, as they say, of applying what I think I know about sports. And, you know, sometimes you're successful, sometimes you aren't. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Well, that was a... They're going to pay you, or are you going to pay them for the commercial you just gave them?
They got to pay Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, well, good luck on that one.
I don't mind giving them a few extra minutes, okay?
Are you kidding me? What about the FCC?
There is no FCC with the digital world. The FCC dare not step its foot into our world. The FCC dare not stick its nose into this world, or otherwise there will be someone on the other side ready to punch and punch and punch till the nose flattens and the, you know...
Yeah, the nose flattens and the nose withdraws.
And the nose withdraws from whatever hole it was stuck in.
Right, that's kind of a weird way of putting it, but...
What do you mean weird?
You punch... Anyway, it is true.
Am I right or am I wrong, bud? You tell me. Back me up on this. Does the FCC have any governance here?
No, it does not.
You don't have to ask him, I know.
Well, the Federal Communications Commission... I was founded in 1934 as one of our most tried and true agencies. Now, what are you trying to pull here anyway, Hendry?
Well, I'm not pulling anything. I'm just telling you the FCC has no jurisdiction here. Now, I understand that the Federal Communications Commission and other federal agencies have weighed in on net neutrality, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and all that other jazz. But in terms of content, they have no jurisdiction. And it's one of the things that has allowed... You talk about... non-regulation.
Well, let's not get too political now, all right?
CNN is doing the special on Ronald Reagan this week, and I would like you to be respectful.
CNN's doing a special in the 80s.
Yeah, in other words, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, hey, hee.
Would you shut your...
Hey, come on.
Shut your mouth. The 80s was not entirely Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, 2 years of George Bush, and Michael Dukakis... In a tank.
What do you mean, Michael Duck in a tank?
His name wasn't Michael Duck. It was Michael Dukakis.
Well, yeah, but he's in a tank.
Oh boy, when that photograph of Michael Duke—what are the guys?
Michael Dukakis, General.
Well, excuse me, I'm a military man. I don't know every civilian that waltzes in and out of Washington. Michael Dukakis.
Yes.
When that clown was photographed in that tank, man, I thought I was gonna bust my shit. You know,
bust your what?
You really want to know? I thought the crotch of my pants was going to bust wide open.
What? You're getting a hard on?
You know what? I'm going to... Hey!
Let go of him, General.
No.
God, yeah, you're going to get it, said it.
Don't you ever say something like that.
Well, you're the guy that said the crotch of your pants.
Because I was laughing so hard, all the muscles, yes, including the ones in my...
In your testicles.
You know what? You guys talk about sick. And my wife's listening this morning. Let me just say, Patsy, if you're listening to this, no, I didn't get a hard-on.
You're making it worse.
Yeah, I know I am. Now, Donald, you laughed so hard that everything just, your pants just came apart. That's exactly right. I laughed so hard my pants came apart. I shouldn't have said what I said.
Well, you know something, General? There are things that are said in this world that we truly can't take back. But I understand who you are, and I understand the great service you've done to our country. What you're essentially trying to do is mock Michael Dukakis. But in the process, you said you laughed so hard, you sprung one. I
didn't spring one. I told you that.
Well, it sounds like that.
Can we just rephrase? You laughed so hard that your belt busted. How about that?
Right there. That's what I wanted to say. My belt busted wide open, and the whole the pants and the underwear just exploded outward.
You're serious?
Well, no, I'm not serious. No, I got into the cab, and I forget where I was. But when I saw, I was walking down a street, and I looked through a store window, and I saw Michael Dukakis in the tank, looked like a little tiny guy with a big fat nose hanging out of that helmet. I thought, holy Jesus. So a group of us laughed, and suddenly I realized my pants had exploded, and a cab rolled by, and I said, hey, you, get me to the Sheraton on Capitol Hill and make it snappy. I dove into the back seat. He stopped and tried to get me out of the cab. I couldn't understand that.
Why was he doing that?
Oh, he was afraid that I was some kind of a perv looking to get...
But I thought you were you took your pants off and got out of the cab?
That's what my understanding is, yes, because I interviewed him later. Now,
this story is too whack for words. Are you telling me the truth?
Yes, I'm trying to tell you what I meant when I said the pants exploded.
All right, General, I think we have enough of that.
Yeah, General, the more you talk, the worse it gets. No, hey, don't give me that load of crap. I'm going
to
tell...
General, the more you talk, the worse it gets. You dove into the cab, and he took you to the hotel, and you got a new pair of pants.
Yeah, that's right, but I didn't dive into the cab and say, hey, you, how about swinging your head around this way so I can slip it? Shit. Here he goes.
Hell, it's not fair.
Well, I mean, come on, you know.
Doug, but... Guy's gonna swivel his head around.
You know what's very disappointing about you?
No, what?
What a smarter.
No, what? What is disappointing about me?
What's disappointing about you is when I am fighting for my reputation and my life, trying to tell you that I dove headfirst into a cab with my pants shredded. Never mind. You see him?
Yes, I do, General.
That's what you sound like, Phil. Like some babbling hyena squatting, taking a dump on a man's front lawn that he's worked his entire life to keep green, and then you go, ha, 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 and you gallop off and bark.
I think I'll get some cottage cheese, General.
Yeah, okay.
General Galen Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey. Don't you laugh at me.
No, we're not. He's genuinely... world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So there you have that... Some other news we have for you. Chris Rock. Kevin Hart apparently got revenge on a... Did you see this, Margaret?
Well, I know Doug Danger is going to cover some of this.
Doug Danger is going to cover the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. NWA is being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they will not perform at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Ice Cube is being, you know, a little... what is the word? He's being kind of, you know... making people guess as to what the real reason is. A little ambiguous. He's saying, well, we're not going to, because we didn't get any respect, but no, it's not really bad, and I don't know. Anyway, it's normal that when spotting a celebrity you really admire, you temporarily forget their name, whether it's the excitement over finding out that person is actually real or whether you're too busy preparing your phone for a selfie. It's not uncommon to get flustered in front of the celebrity that you love. That's why you should always wear a shirt of their face whenever you leave your home. Okay, but hey, it happens.
What is that supposed to mean?
General, this is just Hollywood fan stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of goofy stuff. But usually the celebrity doesn't piggyback off that faux pas and turn it into a viral video. Unfortunately for this woman who seems to really love Chris Rock, even though she either doesn't know what Rock looks like or thinks all African-American comedians are one and the same, Kevin Hart wasn't about to let her off the hook. She thought he was Rock, and so he filmed his encounter with her to prove it.
Where's the rest of the story?
I'm looking for it, Margaret.
We must have the rest of that story.
I got, you know, take it easy. I guess I don't have it.
Oh, here it is.
Well, that's it. That's all there is to it.
Well, then why don't they, is there a video of it?
There probably is a video of it, but we're going to be right back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And when we do get back, we're going to have Doug Danger talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We'll have a little more on the Kevin Hart situation. I'm Phil Hendry, and nice to have you guys with us here on this Friday.
Cure for cancer, cure for AIDS. Yeah, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California will continue in just a moment. Yeah, I pray, but faith is dead. If I don't get up and go work my legs, torches high like the sky. 116, no shame tonight. I'ma let it shine till the day I drop. Heart quit pumping.
You know, we had a lot of fun with our viral game last month, so we've decided to keep it going. So what you do is head over to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram and hashtag World of Phil with your favorite quote from today's show, and you could win a swag bag full of some fantastic crap. Yes.
Well, what do you mean crap, Phil? Some, you know, stuff.
It's just what he would call like a crap, though. People think they're going to stick their hand down in that swag bag, and it's kind of come back just Jesus.
No, that's... Anyway.
Look, did you see that, General? He went,
yeah, Phil, your face is going to stay that way.
You're the guy whose pants exploded diving into a cab.
Whee! Oh, man, you don't know how close to dying you've just come.
Well, I got a right to the freedom of speech.
All right, can it with the free speech. Anyway, you will get a great bag of great crap, a great swag bag, if we pull your quote out of our prize pants. That's where we pull quotes from.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah, you know how they pull, mostly they'll pull things out of a bowl or like a little popcorn machine thing?
Well, you mean like on the lottery?
Yeah. We just have a pair of pants.
Oh, you're so full of crap, your eyes are brown.
Well, his eyes are blue.
Yes, my eyes are blue.
Uh-huh.
So, here are some great tweets from yesterday.
Will you give me that? I'm a volcano surrounded by ants.
That was me.
Yes. And then the other quote from yesterday, it's fruit salad with linguine, and I threw some pesto on top of it, and here's a crab leg. You guys don't know good eating, do you? And that's Grounded 77. This guy, Grounded 77, gets a lot of quotes in there, doesn't he?
Well, he does, and I'm thinking that Grounded 77 will have so many quotes that it will be hard to draw a quote that isn't his name. So I think the sheer volume of the quotes that he is dropping in...
What are you suggesting?
But probably saying you can only limit people to like one quote a day.
Well, it is one quote a day. Are we giving away a swag bag a day, or...
Don't look at me, friend. This is all your little party, friend.
Well, you'll find out, but I think it's we're doing it more than one day.
I know that, man, but I think what Margaret's point is, if all you got to do is just pour a whole lot of quotes in there, and your name's going to pop up a lot of times, you're bound to win something. Anything. I mean, anyway, Grounded 77's a great... he's a great loyal fan of ours, so hey. And this one, Signify Designs, is the guy who submitted, I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. Margaret Gray.
Which, by the way, that is from the film Raisin in the Sun, when... who's the actor? Sonny Liston?
Sidney put Sonny Liston.
Well, I don't know. The great actor. The two names. One starts with an S.
Yeah, and the other starts with an L or a P.
What? What are you talking about?
You just said Sonny Liston was.
Dad, talk about Sonny Liston is a prize fighter.
It's easy to mix the names up.
You know who the actor was.
Who?
The actor in Raisin in the Sun.
Well, Phil, there were two actors that were talking to each other in that scene. One was Lou Gossett Jr., and the other was Sonny Piston.
Sidney Poitier.
That's right, Sidney Poitier.
Sonny Piston? Christ.
Oh, stop it.
Margaret, let me tell you something. If you are an entertainment writer, then my name is Old McDonald.
Old Bill McDonald.
That's right.
All right, Old Bill McDonald.
Don't get cute with me. Are you really...
No, wait, I'll do this. You really didn't know who the actor was?
That's the question I was going to ask.
Of course I did. I was... Phil, I'm trying to make a point. The line I got was from that movie where he says, I'm an ant surrounded by volcanoes.
No, you're a volcano surrounded by ants.
Yes, I am. But Sidney Liston...
Get out of here with Sidney Liston.
I mean Sidney Poitier. He did say that. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants.
Right, and he was saying it to Lou Gossett Jr.
He was saying it to Lou Gossett Jr., and as Lou Gossett Jr.'s character left, he said, "Good night, Prometheus." Which then ensued a very interesting, cute little exchange between Sidney Poitier and the great Ruby Dee.
Well, the lines were, because I've seen that movie so many times, he said, "Who the hell is that Prometheus guy anyway? Who, you know, with that simple-minded clown making that stuff up?"
Yes, and then she said, "Well, honey, you don't know. Maybe that Prometheus is a really nice guy."
Yeah, and then he says, "Look, why don't the two of you perform this in the park this summer? Phil Hendry and Margaret Gray doing the Sidney Liston lines." Shit.
Yeah, it's Sidney Liston.
I made a mistake. It's a very honest mistake.
Yeah. All right, so that's from Raising the Sun. Thank you, Margaret. And thank you all for participating in the promotion. Because it's going to be fun, man. Now, we also have our viral promo, our quote of the day thing is cool. We also have our regular monthly promo coming up, our April promo, which is going to be Boss Angeles, man. Excuse my French, I'm sorry. This stuff's going to be fantastic. We have our vinyl picture discs. Only 1,000 were ever printed. And now you have a chance to win one. The first 500 people to sign up for an annual backstage pass this month will receive a free copy at no extra charge. We will cover the shipping, as a matter of fact. Unless you live in Europe, then you can cover that shipping, and that's just tough.
Oh, boy. You're very uncompromising, aren't you?
I'm not paying for shipping to Europe, okay? So that's where that's at. That's going to be a fantastic thing. World famous Phil Hendry show with them picture discs coming up here. This is picture disc month, man.
Yeah.
World famous Phil Hendry show.
Phil Hendry show traffic.
And let's go over to Bob Bakian.
I saw how the traffic right now got a 15-3 weather. It ripped up pants and came up the ramp. Came up with a rat in his mouth and ground. Now he's going out of 40. If you're on the Harbor Freeway this morning, make sure you handle that. And you're handling it as you drive in the fast lane and go out to get there. If you got a flat tire out there on the 405, you'll have that flat. You're all by yourself because you got a flat top. And I'll tell you what, get your hair cut. And about that, top one. Let's go, Skyboy.
Hey, Bob, I got a problem. And you were saying the other day on the 10 freeway?
Yes.
That is Bob Zeman. He's bald and he's sailing for a dream team. And it's a dream team out there, St. James Bond. As we get him, get him out there, we put it all over there. Let's go to Boyd's. Car Baby Sweet Tim.
Or yesterday, rather, in Augusta, Georgia. The Masters Tournament played over the very unforgiving course, which is, of course, the course we know as Augusta National. It played right into the capable hands of some of the best golfers during Thursday's opening round. Of course, there was the defending champion, Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy, Paul Casey, and Sergio Garcia. But look a little bit deeper, and you'll find that most of the world's top players left the hallowed grounds with bruised and battered egos, their heads in their hands, and talk about having your slacks explode. Forget it! Ricky Fowler had a cringeworthy 4 boogies, 2 doubles, and a triple to shoot 80! 80! This is Joe Dickhead. We'll have all the golfing action for you as we progress through this weekend here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On Sunday, it ought to be a real bloodbath, the Masters Tournament from Augusta.
All right, Joe, thanks, buddy.
Well, that Joe Dickhead is a guy that...
Joe Dickhead is, and obviously he was not either none too pleased or he was really pleased.
Well, what was he screaming about?
He was screaming about that. If some guy shot an 80, which was Ricky Fowler. You know, it's really interesting. Anytime you see a pro shoot anything 80 or above, you always kind of, wow. Because these guys are amazing. Have you ever been to a golf tournament, General?
I went to the senior, what they called the seniors back in those days. Now it's called the Champions Tour.
Yeah.
I went to that one in Ojai, and I have it up there. And I'll tell you what, I got to see some pretty great, you know, Chichi Rodriguez, Jesus H., Is there anything better than that guy?
Oh, Chichi Rodriguez is a lot of fun.
Who's Chichi Rodriguez?
Chichi Rodriguez was an old, he was a golfer in the 60s and 70s, and that cat used to, he was a real showman. Every time he made a putt, he used his putter as if it was a sword, like he had just run a guy through with a sword.
What do you mean, Miss Evans?
What do I mean?
Don't you guys know what it looks like when a guy's using a sword?
Yeah, but he hit a ball.
Hit a ball, man. I want to do that.
He's using the putter, and the putter is what you hit the ball that rolls, right?
The putter is what you use on the putting green.
All right, Phil. I'm not that familiar. We could call up Frank, but I think he's playing right now.
Call up Mr. Gray. He's golfing.
We don't need to call Frank Gray up to get this crap straightened out. The putter is, quite simply, that club which you use to putt the ball on the putting surface.
Yeah, but what's the putting surface?
Yeah, what is that?
It's the green thing, man. The green thing, baby.
The green thing, baby. Look, I know what you're talking about, but even though I know what you're talking about, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the ground green. You know, Bud, you know where the flag is?
What?
The flag, man.
The flag on a hole, yeah.
That's the green. Don't you look at me like that, man.
Look, why don't you get Frank? You got Frank?
Now, I'll get Mr. Gray. He'll explain everything.
Oh, yeah. Like, we gotta bother this guy while he's playing golf, and he'll explain everything. Frank Gray is gonna join us here on the Phil Hendry Show to talk about... I can't believe... You there, Frank?
How you doing, Phil?
Great. How are you?
I'm better than Custer. We're waiting to tee off today. We're at Brookside again.
Oh, you're back in Pasadena?
Yeah, we're back in Pasadena. Everything is booked up. I couldn't squeeze my ass to forget. You know what angers me is that Trump, she can golf anywhere she wants because I guess she's passing out the...
Oh, Frank, don't say it.
Well, I'm telling you right now, the only way that Trump is able to get onto a golf course, I swear to God, she's given some serious...
Some what, money?
Yeah, money.
Oh, I know. You know what? That's pretty crude, pal.
I don't give a damn. I think she's getting on her knees.
Okay, Frank. Thank you very much. Well, the reason why we're calling you...
Yeah, the reason why you're calling me is to bother me. And I got to tee off now. Rudy, you up? It's on you. I got to... I'll be with you in a minute here. I got to hit. These clowns just called me here. So.
You want us to not bother you?
No, it's fine. What do we got here? 485 yards, going to dogleg right, and left? No, I think I said right. You said left originally. Yeah, it did dogleg left. Well, is it doglegging right or left? Right. How could it have been doglegging left? My understanding. Look, I don't want to mess with you.
Frank, would you hurry up?
Don't tell me to hurry up. You're bugging me.
Frank, all right, should we hang up?
No, don't you dare hang up. Rudy, does the thing tee, does it tee off? No, you tee off. I mean, is it going to dogleg? Yeah, sure. All right. Here we go. What a piece of shit. About 100 yards. Yeah, I know. All right, Phil.
You got your drive going?
Yeah, I got my drive going.
100 yards? What's going on with you anyway?
Hey, none of your business. Do you golf?
I don't golf that much, no.
And I can't talk to novices and people. So what do you want to know?
What we want to know, Frank, is the Masters and the... What did we want to ask him?
I forget. We wanted to ask you about the Masters.
All right. What do you want to know about the Masters?
No, we had a very specific question, Bud. What was it?
Bob, there's a lot of guys that shoot 80 or above. And, God, I forget.
You're calling me up. Is it your hit?
Yeah. Woo! Nice one.
God damn, you're pin high. All right, watch this. You know, I get off a few bad shots. You watch this and learn, okay? And don't ever give me any crap again.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to kill the guy that made these clubs, and then I'll go find the guy that sold them to me, and I will kill both of them, and I'll drop them into the same hole.
Okay, I'll see you later, Frank.
Yeah. Tell you what, you owe me five...
Excuse me, Frank Gray on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what the hell kind of an interview was that?
You can tell a guy's getting mad.
He's got a lousy golf. We couldn't even remember why we called the guy. All right, we're going to get into the meat of the show, if you'll pardon the expression here, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me tell you what's been happening here. What the hell happened to that Master story?
Well, it was a Joe Dickhead, and he only had a little bit of it.
Get these cats up to speed, will you, bud?
But Joe Dickhead's responsible for his content. He said that.
So NWA won't perform at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, according to Ice Cube. NWA will reunite at their induction ceremony at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they won't be performing. In an interview with the New York Times Thursday, Ice Cube said he expects the whole group to show up for the ceremony, including core members Dr. Dre, MC Ren, and DJ Yella, in addition to Ice Cube. Eazy-E died in 1995. I believe everybody's going to be there as it stands now, Ice Cube said. But the legendary hip-hop group immortalized in the recent biopic Straight Outta Compton won't be rapping for the crowd. Nah, we're not performing. I guess we really don't feel like we're supported enough to do the best show we could put on, Ice Cube said about the organizers. Now, get that.
They're not supported enough.
No.
You agree with that?
I'm listening to the story.
Yeah, so we wanted to do it on a whole other level, and that just couldn't happen. So, and then he added, no disrespect intended.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Don't you understand? Can't you see? What he's saying is...
But don't talk to me like we're in the middle of a Thomas Wolfe novel. I'm trying to figure this out.
The guy's saying that he...
Oh, boy. You know what, Dickman? I'd have wonderful conversations with you if it weren't for the fact that you've got some sort of a Tourette's/muscular dystrophy situation with the lower jaw and the neck muscles going...
All right, General, we get it.
This guy can't understand a thing.
I'm just saying that he said they probably wanted to do something really bitchin', and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame said you can't do it bitchin'.
Oh, I see. So he wanted to do something bitchin', but they said you can't do it bitchin'. What if he said he wanted to do something bitchin', they said no, but if you do it lousy, we'll let you do it.
Then he wouldn't go. Then he wouldn't gonna do it then.
Then he wouldn't gonna do. God damn, I'm gonna hurt you.
Wait. Bud's making a good point, however crazed the language. He's saying that NWA apparently, and I think I'm reading that the same way, Bud, that the Ice Cube said the group wanted to do a very, very big show, and they just didn't have, probably they didn't have they weren't ready to part with the money.
Well, I think that this is, look, it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They know nothing, and I mean nothing, about hip-hop. They can say they do, but they don't. Let's go to Bud Danger. Who's on the phone? Not Bud Danger. Let's go to Doug Dickman. I'm awfully sorry, Doug. It's been such a pressingly long day. I hope that you're doing well.
I'm doing well. My name is Doug Danger. I'm a gay man, gay journalist, and I've been on your program many times. I know you call me Bud Danger.
But, you know, that mistake is made a lot in this show, Doug. We apologize.
Well, that you got that right. Okay, I will go with you on that one. Anyway, this is Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist, and Phil and the crew are absolutely right. It is going to be NWA, and they will be inducted to the Rock and Horror, and the Rock and Horror Hall of Fame, not the Rock and Horror. Margaret, you'd be interested in this. Someone said it.
Why would I be interested in that? And I know where you're going with this.
I mean, it was Tootie Jones who said they ought to call it the Rock and Horror Hall of Fame.
Yes, why would I be interested in that?
I mean, you sang backup for Blue Oyster Cult.
Why would I be interested in it being called the Rock and Horror...
No, but Margaret, I'm not saying anything that isn't common knowledge.
And what common knowledge would that be?
Oh, come on.
Doug, you know, man, why did you have to do this?
I want to know what common knowledge...
I think it's common knowledge that you...
Yeah?
That you worked your way into the studio with Blue Oyster Cult. Because there was a... I read that there was cone gobbing.
Cone gobbing.
God damn it!
Get him out of here.
But, come on, Margaret.
So you read that there was cone gobbing.
No, they said Margaret Gray, who did a stellar job on Blue Oyster Cult's Mirrors, along with Kim Foley, and you would never know that because of the greatness of her singing, you'd never know that she worked her way into the studio and was featured on that album after a marathon cone gob. And
a marathon cone. They said that about a woman, a mother, and a wife.
If that's Ms. Gray.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I am a mother, a marathon cone guy.
Well, you said it right there. That was a Freudian slip.
Yeah, it was a Freudian slip.
I'm going to. You know what? Here's a Freudian slip. How about I Freudian slip this switchblade out of my purse?
God damn it, Margaret. Put that thing away.
Where the hell did you get that?
I carry it for protection.
It's pretty well known that Margaret carries a switchblade. She carries one of them switch knives, you know. She loves to just kind of go, you know, chicky run.
You know, Doug, one of these days I'm going to lose my temper and lose my liberalism and call you what you are, a crap-disturbing queer.
Goodbye.
He can't hang up.
Can't hang up, Doug. You can't hang up.
God! You take that back.
Apologize to him.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. Yeah? Danger. Where? Where? I don't know anything about it. Get out of here. Get lost.
What was that?
Some guy's claiming a kid fell down a well. Who cares?
A kid fell down a well, and you're not going to cover that.
I'm not a hard news.
You're not hard, all right. You know what? You're not hard in a lot of different ways. But one thing you do have is a hard head. I'm General Galen Shaw. Stick it.
Yay! You know, that was weak ass, man.
Would you guys grow the hell up and let's talk about what we're here to talk about? And that is NWA being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Doug Danger, your take.
All right, thank you very much, Phil. This is Doug Dang, and I'm a gay man, gay journal. I'll be doing a little bit of my Doug Dang shorthand because we got a lot of fish to fry today. We're burning daylight, lots of things to cover. I'm going to be in Cleveland for the induction of NWA into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The thing that I think Margaret was alluding to, and I will agree with you, Margaret, on this one, even though you have made your very, very best effort to drag my reputation through the mud, calling me, what did you call me, a flippin' queer?
I said if I'd lost my liberalism, which I haven't.
Yeah, right. And
come on, Doug.
All right. But I would say that I would agree with Margaret on this this one point. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll World, what they know about rock and roll, you could stick in a can. And I mean that sincerely. I think there's some great writers. There's obviously great musicians. There are great engineers and support people, great A&R people. But hip-hop music is its own culture, its own expression. It's a completely different kind of music. And even when they interviewed Ice Cube, and by the way, he misspells his name. I wrote him a letter. You know this, Margaret. I wrote him a letter saying, you know, your first name is I-C-E-D, Iced Cube, and he spelled...
That didn't work with Ice-T either.
I don't care whether it worked or not. I'm Doug Dang, gay man, gay journal.
I thought your name was Danger.
He's doing the shorthand.
I'm doing shorthand, all right? Now, so this guy is so stupid he can't even spell his own name.
Can't spell his own name.
Spell, man. Spell, baby. So,
I'm trying to figure out what you're saying.
I'm not only trying to figure out what you're saying, I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing here. Okay?
Look, Doug, it's a very, very easy decision we can make. You don't have to be on the show ever again.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So, look, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they wouldn't know hip-hop from your Aunt Sally. They wouldn't know hip-hop from a Tupperware loaded down with chicken drumsticks, okay? So what they have to do is, I believe, treat it the way it ought to be treated, an entirely separate wing, the hip-hop wing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you can call it the chicken wing if you want. Call it the barbecued wing if you want, if you really want to be a racist, no...
Why would they want to do that?
Because a lot of people may not hear. Here is the hip-hop wing. Let's call that the barbecued hip-hop wing. And people will go, ha ha, we get it. And they'd go over there and they'd see these great groups. But as it stands...
Okay, Doug, can I ask you a question?
No, you may not. I'm not done yet. But as it stands right now, they're sticking NWA up there with Chicago, Deep Purple. Get a lot of this induction, Phil. If you don't think you understand what I'm saying, you'll understand now. Here's the ceremony. Here's the induction ceremony that they're going to have there, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And here it is. And by the way, Kendrick Lamar is going to induct NWA into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Kendrick Lamar ought to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too.
Now, who's Kendrick Lamar?
He's a hip-hop guy.
Holy Christ. What are you doing here? I'm sorry. Get out of here, man.
All right, I'm back.
Wow. Kendrick Lamar, as far as I can tell, is just trying to, you know, suck up and kiss up to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame board so that they don't forget him. I'm sure he's there. He's probably greasing a few palms. I'm sure he's buying a lot of drinks. I'm sure he's buying lots and lots of dinners. I'm sure he's spreading around whatever it is you spread around. And a lot of that has to do with first-class hotel suites and whatever might come with those. And I'll leave that to your imagination. I'm sure Kendrick Lamar right now is in Cleveland buying lots and lots of dinners, tons of gallons of drinks, and the most exquisite, the finest hotel rooms. Oh, man.
Well, you don't know any of this.
Well, that's just my thinking. So they're going to be there. Now, here are the guys they're inducting them with. Cheap Trick, Chicago, Deep Purple, and Steve Miller.
Now, who are they? I've heard of Steve Miller. Well, those are four of, I would say, very, very standard rock and roll bands from the late 1970s. I don't know why NWA is being inducted now.
Well, NWA is being inducted now because they had a movie come out about them. I don't think anybody would have cared about them one bit. Furious Five, Run DMC, the Beastie Boys, Cheap Trick, Chicago, Deep Purple, and Steve Miller represent the very low end of rock and roll. It doesn't get much worse than those bands. When you talk about Cheap Trick, Chicago, Deep Purple, and Steve Miller, you could cram all of them together and you wouldn't come up with one good drummer. I think you'd come up with two good songs, one half of a good guitar player, no drummer, maybe two bass players, one manager.
Will you come on, man? So what's the point?
The point is they blow. They blow, and NWA, they're going to induct NWA. Man, I'll tell you, if I was NWA, I'd walk on this gig. I'd walk on the gig. I'd say, you better induct us with some heavier hitters here, because what's going to happen is Ice Cube's going to listen to some of this music from Chicago, and he's going to want to, you know Ice Cube, he's going to be upset. He's going to say, you're going to put me in with these clowns? And then he's going to see the album cover of that one album where they're all running and they look just...
Well, you can't say gay because you're gay.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and even I wouldn't go prancing across an album cover the way this Chicago band did with that one album.
I don't know the album you're talking about.
It's world famous, Phil.
Yeah, but then I've seen it in Chicago, and they're all like, yeah.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
As soon as NWA sees that, they're going to say, you know what, man, I'm checking out of this jam session. So it'll be very interesting to see the induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right, Doug, thank you very, very much for that update.
Uh-huh.
Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier.
You know, every time that guy's on, we got some sidetrack story having to do with his gayness. What is it with the gay man, gay journalist?
How many times have we explained that to you?
General, we've explained it.
Yeah, I know you've explained it, and it's so far out and way, way out. Almost like, you know, when you explain it to me, it takes me way out. Takes me too far out.
What do you mean it takes you too far out? You don't understand about a guy being gay?
I understand about a guy being gay. I don't understand about Doug Danger going gay man, gay journal. And he's doing it.
That's the shorthand.
I got the short. What I'm trying to say to you, if you'll just shut up for 5 seconds.
Sorry.
Sorry, General.
Thank you. You got something to say?
No, sir.
Then why don't you zip it up? When this guy, Doug Dingle, Danger, comes on your show and starts in with the gay man, gay journal, and then say, oh, well, I'm doing shorthand, I'm already taken too far out. You see, I'm on...
What do you mean, taken too far out?
Are you trying to tell me you've never... Way back when, Phil, weren't you... Wasn't there a Friday or a Saturday night when you had just, you were way, way out there?
Well, now you're asking Phil to admit some things.
What? No, I've got nothing to do with this. You mean you are disoriented?
Right there. There's the word. I'm disoriented to the point where I feel like I'm not in control of my senses. And things begin to echo, and I hear, way. And he would say, NWA, and way, and way, and way. And I'm going, what the hell just happened to me? I'm just listening to Doug Danger, gay man and gay asshole.
Oh, man.
You just said a dirty word.
All right, I'm sorry.
You're going to have to edit that out, you know.
Well, great. It'll give you some editing practice.
Thank you very much, General, for your opinion. I don't know that it means anything. I'm not sure I understand what you said. I'm not sure much of anything. In fact, I'm pretty disoriented right now, so thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, do you know what Isaac Newton's Philosopher's Stone is?
Well,
never mind. We're going to be talking about it here coming up in just a moment because they've discovered the Philosopher's Stone recipe of Isaac Newton. I don't know what it means either, but it sounds cool, and it's like manuscript stuff, and it's like old stuff, and it's bitching.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California will be right back after these very, very important messages.
What? Hi, this is Solomon Buggerman, and I am a guy that sells gardening supplies. I like to think of myself as a gardener, but I wouldn't hire me to come out and actually garden for you, because what I do is just lay on my stomach and I pretend that the bugs that I see on the sidewalk are giant monsters, and I fantasize. Then I roll over on my back and look at the sun and look at the clouds, and I eat snails. Buggerman Gardening Supplies. Go there for all the supplies you need to make your garden look great. Don't bugger it. Go Buggerman, and don't hire me, Solomon Buggerman. Buggerman Gardening Supplies. Don't bugger it. Go to Buggerman Gardening Supplies in the Elf Mall.
Buggerman, Buggerman, Buggerman. Don't forget to write down either on Instagram, Facebook, or on Twitter your favorite line from today's show, and make sure you hashtag it with World of Phil. And now more from Phil Hendry.
Thank you, Margaret. And our very good friend, Dr. Jim Sadler, will be on the line with us here. We talk with Dr. Sadler about this Philosopher's Stone, and I find this stuff just fascinating as a get out. Dr. Sadler is at his offices in San Diego. Dr. Sadler, I'm grateful that you've taken some time to be with us. As I said, I find this stuff just amazingly interesting from many different standpoints.
Well, we've been involved in the studying of the Philosopher's Stone for quite some time. It is alchemy, Phil, and alchemy is a very interesting science. Alchemy is I think it's the entry point in science that the metaphysical or the quasi-physical world makes its entry into science and sort of says, here I am to help out, because there's a lot of things that you don't understand.
Now, what do you mean it's the entry point of science? Is alchemy a science?
I believe that it is. There are a lot of people that don't believe it.
Well, alchemy is making gold, right?
Alchemy is the manufacturing of gold using the Philosopher's Stone. And the Philosopher's Stone has a very specific recipe.
Can I ask you one question, Doctor? What is all the noise?
I'm sorry?
There's a lot of noise.
We're hearing a beeping sound.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I'm in my laboratory, okay? And we're doing a few experiments. What was that?
Bud, excuse me.
What was he? Was he laughing?
Bud was found that laugh. You thought that was funny?
Bud, talk about doing experiments.
That is exactly correct, Bud. I am doing experiments. This is my laboratory. I don't see what's unusual about that.
There's nothing unusual about it, Doctor. Bud is being childish. That's the usual thing.
Well, I certainly understand that. No, I'm here. I'm doing some experiments on life and on the very thing that we're talking about. Alchemy.
Now, do you have the recipe yourself of this Philosopher's Stone from which you make gold?
I do, and I'm conducting several experiments right now trying to make gold. I have my assistant here, and you want to say hello to everybody? And that is Don, and he's my assistant. Go and get me 2 vials.
Is that a monkey?
It's a chimpanzee, yes. Go get me 2 vials of extra Formula X.
That's a chimpanzee, huh?
It is. Don has been with me for 10 years, and I trust him implicitly.
This is a chimp, a trained chimp, right?
Well, I don't call Don a chimp. I call him I try to have some respect, some decency. You know, we live in such an indecent world, in a world where we're happy to just slap each other across the face. Hi, you don't know me. Slap. And then just keep walking. So with Don, I've tried to, be respectful. No, I said Formula X. Formula X. Formula X. It's in the where the gremlin juice is.
What do you mean gremlin juice?
What is that gremlin juice?
That's just a code word that I use for it.
All right, so Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us as well, and he'll have a take on this.
Dr. Tarner, I wasn't informed that Dr. Tarner would be on.
I'm sorry, but I thought we did tell you.
No, I was not informed that Dr. Ron Tarner would be on. So is this some kind of what do you want to call a debate of some kind?
No, it's not a debate. Dr. Ron Tarner joins us now from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. Dr. Tarner, hello.
Hello, Phil. Hello, Dr. Sadler.
Yes, Ron, how are you?
I'm very well and very good. Have we met?
No, we have not met, but I always like to call... I call people by their first name.
I would rather you call me Dr. Tarner.
And why is that?
Because I know that by calling me by my first name, that's a sign of disrespect. So right away, this guy wants to play it cute. And
No.
Wait. I don't want any of that. Call each other doctor.
Now, that is a sign of disrespect. Let me tell you why I decided to come on this program, Dr. Sadler, so you don't feel picked on. I think this kind of thing has gone on too long, and it's got to be stopped.
Oh, really? You said what's got to be stopped? The alchemy? The very thing that Isaac Newton? Isaac Newton. You know who Isaac Newton is, don't you?
I know an Isaac Newton. I don't know an Isaac Newton.
I said Isaac, no, you know, this is what I mean. He wants to play it cute, I'll play it cute. You want to play it not so cute, I'll play it not so cute. If you want to play it ugly, just flat out ugly, I'll play it ugly. If you want to play it handsome...
All right, I understand.
This is what he does. He tries to confuse.
This is what he does. We've never even met, for Christ's sake.
Watch the language. Dr. Tarner, your feeling about alchemy is that it's quasi-science.
Oh, it absolutely is quasi-science. Everyone knows it's quasi-science, and it's been established as quasi. There's no link between what the alchemists of old believed they could do, which was create this philosopher's stone, a combination of elements that once combined would create gold. It has never happened.
Bullshit.
That kind of language, Dr. Sadler.
Everyone's ganging up on me, and I'm just trying to tell you that what he's saying is bullshit.
Please watch the language.
Look, Dr. Sadler, we're not trying to gang up on you.
And this is the mentality as well of the alchemist. When he is found out, when he is exposed to the light of day, what does he do? Like a cockroach, he runs for the closest door jamb or under a refrigerator or under a sock. And then when someone puts that sock on, oh, God.
So you're saying that I'm running into a sock just so I can get squished by a foot? What an idiot. Well, you're an idiot. You know,
I'm not saying that, but I am saying you'd risk getting squished by a foot just to bug somebody by being in their sock.
No, I wouldn't.
This is not going anywhere. This is ridiculous.
Well, what do you mean? This is the relative worth that we feel.
No, you're going to get into someone's sock so you don't get squished. You guys are two doctors. You're talking about alchemy. Dr. Sadler, I'll give you a few minutes here to tell me why. Go ahead and refute what Dr. Tarner said.
Well, I didn't really make my point.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I get to talk now.
What a baby.
Whoa!
Man.
Can we get some grown-ups in here?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
I was just thinking that myself.
Oh, so I'm not a grown-up?
Just say what I asked you this. What do you refute?
Well, go ahead.
Here is what I refute. I refute Dr. Tarner's generalization that all alchemy is phony baloney. He hasn't been in the laboratories that I've been in. He hasn't been in the laboratory and seen... what I've seen.
You've got a monkey. You have a monkey assistant, don't you, a chimp?
Don has been my loyal assistant.
Don. So the chimp's name is Don.
Well, hold on for a minute, Tarner. What is it with you anyway? Do you know that my chimp, and I would never do this in a million years, but my chimp, theoretically, I could hand my chimp a spear and say the name Tarner. I just whisper it. He'd find his way to your house and throw this and put the spear right through you. I would never do that. But do you know he's that intelligent?
Let me tell you, I take that as a threat.
I take that as a threat as well.
I didn't. Who did I threaten?
You just said you'd send your monkey looking for me with a spear.
Oh, come on, man. I told you that I would never do it. I'm trying to tell you how intelligent it is.
I would say this to you with all due respect, Dr. Sadler. The fact that, first of all, that chimp with a spear, is that some kind of racial comment?
No, it's not. I'm black, okay? So how could it be a racial comment?
You're black?
Yes, I'm black. Oh, get a load of you. So in other words, I can't be black if I'm a doctor, is that it?
No, I don't think anybody ever asked you your ethnicity before.
Yeah, well, So, no, it's not racial, okay?
Well, I don't think you're doing your service to your profession.
You were going to say race.
No.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Now, alchemy is still in the formative stages. What Isaac Newton knew and what we know today, Isaac Newton is like an itsy-bitsy little ant. As brilliant as Isaac Newton was, what he knows about alchemy and what I know, compared to me, he's an ant and I'm a volcano. I'm surrounded by ants.
Which is what I said last night.
Well, thank you.
I was talking about myself.
What?
Okay. So alchemy has a long way to go.
May I say something, please?
No, you may not. I'm not done yet. Alchemy, there's still a long way to go with alchemy. What we don't know, boy, I'll tell you, there's worlds to discover. And if we ever do break the code and we're making gold left and right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have all kinds of gold and your asses will be, you'll be broke, busted broke.
Okay. Well, great language that you're using there. You sound very educated.
What's everybody busting down on me for?
The reason I wanted to tell you this, Dr. Sadler, you sound like a real knucklehead. And you're running around that laboratory with a chimp named Don, who's your assistant.
Yes, that's right, my assistant.
And if you wanted to, you could hand him a spear and he'd run off into the night and put it through any one of your enemies.
Oh, what a dick. I can hear you laughing.
All right, I don't want any more of that Lang. I'm going to let both of you guys go.
You don't want any more of that Lang.
Language!
Bill, I would ask your audience before you leave, I would ask them to consider two books. One is by Rinaldo Henry, and it's called The Illusion of Sunshine. And it's about the ongoing phony baloney pitching of alchemy as a real science that it's not. And the other book I wrote last week, and it was just published, and it's out now, and it's called Alchemy is Horse Dung. And I had to...
All right, thank you very, very much, Dr. Tarner.
Well, all right, so I didn't write...
Oh, did we say goodbye to...
No, you did not say goodbye to Dr. Sadler, and I'm glad that you didn't, because I don't want to hear any more about it. I think both of these men are mentally impaired.
Yeah, that you know, the whole thing with that Sadler that bothers me...
Yeah, guys, he's got a monkey.
He's got that chip that he says he can send into the night with a spear and just put it through. That is very frightening.
Well, first of all, let's just be clear. That's an image taken from about two or three different horror movies of the 30s. And I think...
Argento's film Phenomenon.
Was it Phenomenon?
Yes.
Yeah, Argento had a monkey that went into the night and... You know, there was a time in science fiction when they thought monkeys could go out and...
Well, this guy's got a monkey named Don that's getting Formula X.
Yeah, got Formula X out of the gremlin... Okay, folks, thank you very, 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 very much for being with us.
Oh, what, are you just going to let it sit there?
You better believe I'm letting it sit there. I'm not going anywhere near it, you know.
Well, you know something, Phil? If the cat dropped one on the kitchen floor, you'd let it sit there, wouldn't you?
Depending on what else I was doing.
Oh, God, so you'd let a cat...
Jesus, Phil.
Yeah, that's me.
The world-famous Phil... No, I did it last night. You do it.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. My name is Bud Dickman, and thank you very much. And thank you.
Hey, man, you forgot to say thank you.
Shut up.